GNC 587. It's Friday, June 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. We've got a great show for you, lots to talk about, and yeah, lots of cool tech as well. Strap in, here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast via the podcast link on the website. You can subscribe to our show real easily. And that's the best way, really, to keep track of what's happening and make sure you never, ever miss an exciting episode of this podcast. Tonight's show number 587. We're on the march here to going towards 600, and we're going to be doing some cool stuff on 600. But get subscribed, and either through iTunes, Zune Marketplace, with an RSS feed through a podcatcher on your mobile device, however you're listening to the show, welcome to the podcast. Of course, you can always listen live. That is when I'm recording at this time at night, and of course, it's 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. And for many of you, though, you don't care what time it is. You're going to work, working out at the gym or whatever. And that's the beauty of being able to download the show and listen at your leisure. Of course, you want to get the signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight's show. And then I will email that to everyone that's that's signed up for the newsletter. It will contain all of the hyperlinks to all the contents of the content that I've talked about, and also content that's been submitted by audience members of the show or the Ohana. And of course, speaking of the Ohana, I want to give the Ohana of the show a warm welcome. Ohana is a Hawaiian word for family. And so welcome to the family, to the new listeners of the show. Of course, we've got listeners listening in 165 countries worldwide. And we're excited about that. And thanks for staying with us and being here. That's the most important thing. That's what really continues to drive the momentum of the show. And it's been kind of an exciting week, really. It really, really has, because not only am I back home and not on travel, it looks like I'm going to be here all of the month of July. And if that is the case, that will be the first time I will have been home a whole month in many, many months. So I'm excited about being home and continuing the basically building the show of what I've been, the goals here that I've been working towards. And really, this show is always about thinking about where we're going to go next. And I'm always trying to look out 5 years, and knowing what I do today probably will not pay off for another 2 or 3 years. And I've made the decision, it's a very big decision, to invest in the show. The show is at some point going to go completely HD. We're not going to probably stream in HD until I am able to obtain sufficient bandwidth to do that. But right now the show is being pushed in standard def, and but there'll be some investment in hardware to make that happen. So we'll be talking a little bit about the importance of the Insider program here in a few minutes, and one-time donations to the show. But I have kind of made a tentative investment, talked it over with the boss. You know who that is. That's my lovely wife. And we kind of made a decision on where I'm going to go with the show. And we do this about once every 6 months, kind of have a sit down and talk about, you know, where things are happening. And she's basically more of a sounding board, and I lay stuff out on paper and we do the math and make sure if it makes financial sense, make sure it's not going to impact our family. And so far, I think with the growth of the audience, and that's the most important thing, That's helped increase revenues a little bit on the advertising side. And so that in itself allows me to do a little more. We're not quite to the point where I can bring someone on full time, but we're very close to if the advertising dollars may end up working out to where we can bring someone in and have some office help for the show here and actually probably start producing more content. So I'm excited about that, but I'll be talking a little bit more about investment in the show. Probably, if all goes well with the finances, probably we'll be starting to make some purchases in about 3 weeks. Cameras will go last, but I have to do the underlying infrastructure first, and that probably will mean an upgrade of the TriCaster to the new HD TriCaster, which is not cheap, and so I have to make a decision on which version to go with there. But anyway, lots of stuff going on here, and I just want to, of course, I want to welcome all of you that are watching the show on the Roku and or watching with your hacked Apple TV with Boxy or watching online. Doesn't matter how you're watching, just as long as you are, it's important. And, talking about the advertising a little bit, this week has been pretty exciting because the travel that I have done, the meetings that I have done, the investment and spending time talking with media buyers is really starting to pay off in a big way. We're anticipating as insertion orders start to roll in that we're going to have, at least Raw Voice is going to have our biggest quarter ever. And that's exciting from a business standpoint, but also comes with a lot of responsibility. And I'm going to be absolutely hammered for the next 6 days, making sure that all of the advertising deals gets dropped into all of the shows that need to be running this content to make sure we deliver every last download and basically every last impression that we need to deliver to make this happen. So we have at least 105% deployment of the actual campaign. So it's going to be a little kind of crazy around here for the next 6 days or so. I'm not going to be getting much sleep because it is a big job. We made some announcements today on the Blueberry blog. We're starting because we've had a lot of new shows coming on over there. And a lot of them really just are, they're great shows. We look at their websites, they're doing everything right. They've got the right amount of number of episodes, the right consistency. But when I go in and look at their data as far as being able to pull show statistics, they're not running our stats, so they haven't filled out the advertising survey. So we basically put the call out today, hey, listen, you're leaving money on the table if you're, if you're not ready to play. If you're, if you are not wanting to earn any money with your show, that's cool. We're fine with that. We know that not everyone wants to earn money. But, I wrote a blog post today saying, is your podcast making money? And if it isn't, and you're being afforded an opportunity to make some money, then maybe you should. Every quarter, I scour our network for shows that will fit into advertising campaigns. And again, oftentimes I find shows I have to scratch off my final list because they failed to do some of the things that were required to being up on campaigns. One thing I like to tell people is membership in the communities is free and there's no obligation to take advertising. So it's not that we want every show. We'd love to have all 5,300 shows that are, well, actually 5,500 shows that are part of Blueberry to be on advertising buys. That would really make things great. We know that not everyone has the same goals or desires, but we just want to make sure those folks that are new have the opportunity to at least be offered something. And if they decide it's worthwhile for them, they can join on. I think some of the stuff we've got kicking for quarter three is really going to get folks excited. I'm excited about it. Some of our regular sponsors are back. Just renewing again quarter after quarter. And then, of course, we have some new advertisers coming on board. And you guys have seen some of that evidence. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on my show talking about stuff that's going on with Raw Voice. I do this from time to time. But I'm pretty excited about where things are headed. It tells me that the economy is maybe starting to come out because we're seeing bigger spends. And that's good. And for us, it's all about putting dollars in content creators' pockets. So if you know somebody over in Blueberry and to say, hey, you need to go over there and read their blog post if you're looking to put some money in your pocket for your show, we want to help everyone that we can. Now, there's some categories we can't, we haven't had great success in. You know, one of the categories is sports. Very difficult time finding advertisers. Music. What else? One other category. Sports, music. I wrote one other category down that we've had trouble with. And, you know, that troubles me. I just have to really sit back and kind of think on why we've had trouble with those specific categories. You know, business, tech, science, education. Those have all been real easy to sell. And but some of these other categories have been a little tougher. So it's just something that we have to, as a company, to grow. But this show, I'm going to be investing in this show to really to start working on the next level of production. And maybe I need to spend more time on what I'm currently doing. But it's, you know, I'm always trying to think ahead and to stay ahead of that power curve and learn what I have to learn so that as we're talking to content creators, we can explain to them, hey, this is the advantages of doing this. As you guys know, most of you are listening to the show right now. You're subscribed. You're downloading the show either into your iPod, either into your iPhone, into your Zoom, your BlackBerry. Many of you are using other types of portable media devices. Some of you are watching us on your iPad. Some are watching on Roku, Boxy. It's all about the distribution. And, you know, Raw Voice continues to be focused on distribution this year. And while I'm streaming right now on Ustream, the number of folks watching on Ustream tonight is relatively small. But the video that I create from this stream, or actually what's being recorded on the TriCaster, will ultimately end up what's going to be pushed into the Roku and on YouTube and Blip and everywhere else. So, you know, while the having the stuff on Ustream is fun, the ultimate value for it is to actually make it into the other distribution streams for consumable content after the show is done. You guys that have been with the show forever, you know that. I don't have to tell you that. But the distribution strategy is going to get more intense as the Google TV platform rolls out and so forth. And we really got to be ready for that. Millions and millions and millions of people are going to have the ability to very easily, from the comfort of their lazy boy, using their remote control, watch the show. And I have to take the show to the level I need it to be to make them want to stay for an hour and 15 minutes, or like the last show, an hour and 26 minutes. And try not to go that long tonight, but I'm going to have to quit talking about this stuff and get into the regular content. Hey, the Android developer, I got to get you on the phone, dude. Boy, I've just been slammed. Let's try to do that this week. Tom from Fogview Podcast, I don't know if you're, I haven't touched base with you this week either. Just wonder kind of what the status is on the iPhone app. Andrew Darlow, need to talk with you as well. I know you and I had talked about doing some sideline business stuff in association with GNC. So just, you know, let's get together as well. So there's three Ohana of the show that I need to really get in touch with yet this week. And of course, what we're really looking now for is more insiders. And I'm going to be putting together an insider this weekend. Didn't get it done yet this week. Put together an insider this weekend that's going to be talking much deeper about what's coming with the show and why that I really need you guys to become an insider. If you decided you want to support the show, geeknewscentral.com/insider. And we'll take contributions one time, or you can sign up for the $2 a month plan, 5, 10, 20, whatever it may be. My goal really is by the end of July to raise a substantial amount of money to put towards this investment in the show. And I'm hoping you guys can help offset that a little bit. So if you've ever thought about making a one-time donation to the show, every dime that will come in from now until the end of July will actually go to hardware investment in the show. The regular insiders, the ones that are already subscribed as insiders, that money will continue to be separate and go towards the salary replacement plan. But a one-time fundraiser through the end of July to see if I can offset some of the costs and some of the hardware I need to buy. So the ads will keep coming, okay? That's what keeps the lights on and keeps my family fed. So thanks for all of you doing the sponsor. Now, we're going to have that contest next Monday. I'm going to be announcing the GoToMeeting winner. Person that's going to get 90 days of free service. If you want to get on that, just send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Send me basically a testimonial on why you liked GoToMeeting. And the person that has the most convincing testimonial will win 90 days. 90 days free service paid for by me. The live.geeknewscentral.com, we're going to announce that as well on Monday. We had some submissions there, some really great ones. So I'm going to be picking the winner for the next show. So have that up as well. Keep your comments coming for show 600. What's one thing you would change here at GNC? So we're going to implement one thing from all of the ideas that come in between now and show 600 on the best idea for enhancing the show. So maybe it's be me not talking so much at the beginning. Who knows? But that'll be going on. So send those in. And we're going to be reading some of those comments during the email time at the end of the show. So awesome. Go over to blueberry.com. We've got an editor's choice section now. And it's some shows that maybe you're familiar with or not familiar with. And go over to blueberry.com. And some of the shows over there are up. Matter of fact, let me bring up the page. For those, and right now it's Trucker Tom. He's right up there front and center. And The Bleeding Edge is another show that's up there right now. He's got a great iPhone 4 launch video. Another great show that is part of the group over there is American Cliche. And check that out. And then we got Dvorak and Horts, their investment show. Grammar Girl from Quick and Dirty Tips. Mighty Mommy, Video 20, RTW. TY, some great shows that are good friends of us at Blueberry. And we're going to start highlighting shows in the editor's pick area. As a matter of fact, it comes up by default. It's above the featured stack. So great way to get some exposure for some shows. And they'll be up there for 2 or 3 days. And then we'll move it around and change categories. We got the ability to mess with that bar on there. But enough on that. Anyway, go over to geeknewscentral.com. That's where all my offers are at, special offers. And, of course, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can find my GoDaddy codes. And if you're Twittering, use the hashtag Ohana or hashtag GNC to communicate within the network itself or within the community. Of course, don't forget to go to cafepress.com/OhanaStore to pick up some cool wear like I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing my Ohana shirt, which says geeknewscentral.com underneath it. So check that out. Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 giveaway starts next Friday. Do not miss the show. You have to listen before Monday's show. So a week from today, you have to get the show. You have to listen. You have to react over the 4th of July holiday weekend because Monday, July 5th, in the evening when I do the show, I'm going to announce the winner, okay? So please listen to the show next Friday on time. Get it any way you can. So you know how to enter to win that Lenovo ThinkCenter A63. All right, let's take a moment here. You know, if you have a smartphone, you know, you have 24/7 access to GoDaddy.com. The free iPhone app, Android app, and BlackBerry app that GoDaddy offers makes it easy to manage your domains or register new ones. Plus, you can still use the promo codes here from the show on your phone. So you can always have the best deals even when you're on the go. And this thing works out great because you're riding around somewhere, you think of an idea, oh, I want that domain, or, you know, that's really how things come, and you almost have to go on the spur of the moment and get something. Timing is important. And remember, you can download GoDaddy's free iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry app to order right from your phone, manage your current domains, and more. And, of course, you can find that over at GoDaddy.com. Use my promo codes, Todd, save 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. ComSale, you got 6 days. 6 days to renew or buy your .coms at the reduced price. Pricing goes up July 1st. New sponsor here at the show is Matrix Direct. And you guys know that it's very important to have life insurance. You know, it provides a safety net for your loved ones, and it should be an essential part of every family's financial plan. It is of mine. But maybe you put off buying coverage. And I know that when I was younger, I did because I thought it was too expensive or too complicated. And Matrix Direct kind of reduces that. It doesn't have to be complicated. And through the process I went through with Matrix Direct, you can save up to 75% or even more, again, on term life insurance. This is much different than whole life. You'll be able to find the information out there over there, but it's term. And you're not going to have to jump through a lot of hoops to set up. And the licensed insurance agents at Matrix Direct will manage the process from start to finish so you don't have to. They'll even get you started with the application. So policy issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas, not available in all states. For details about this paid advertisement, please visit Matrix Direct online at matrixdirect.com/podcast. And again, to check out the free details of this, matrixdirect.com/podcast. Thanks for Matrix Direct for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the tech stuff. That's where you guys came from. You didn't want to hear me talk about all this other stuff. And I've already kind of covered that, so I'm going to close that. Got a few articles here, UK-based articles. And we all know that newspapers and online newspapers are in a lot of trouble. Here in Hawaii, we've just recently had the Honolulu Advertiser, which is no longer in existence, went out of business about the week I went on this last travel. They didn't go out of business. They got bought up by the Star Bulletin. Now the newspaper is called the Star Advertiser. My wife is not happy. She gets it. She reads the newspaper. I don't. I'm usually the stuff that she comes in and hands me articles that are, 4 days old because I've already read them on the web, and she hasn't read them on the web. She just read them in the newspaper. But she doesn't like the new format. So I tell her, well, why don't you try online? Maybe that'll be better. And she said, I don't want to read online. And okay, so, continue to get the news 3 days old and complain about the new format. But what's happening in the UK is what's happening here as well. The New York Times is considering going into a paid format here shortly. But the Times in the UK is rolling out its paywall and now demands that anyone that wants to read the content has to register an account, even though they're not collecting any money. But according to a research firm by the name of Hitwise, I'm sure many of you are familiar with that, they have found by simply demanding registration only, it's already cut into the traffic at the Times. So I thought this was pretty revealing. With the Times not charging for content, and with the prospect of them doing so, just by the simple fact that they've added a registration barrier, it's cut the traffic in half. Now that should make the New York Times, who's getting ready to do the same thing, sit up and go, So it goes on to say that it's the Times in the UK's paper's competitors are not seeing a huge boost in traffic. The Independent saw the biggest boost in traffic, but the new readers only account for 0.6% of its total traffic. So makes you say that people aren't going to deal with it. They don't want to have to go through hoops to read the newspaper. You want to go to the New York Times, you go to newyorktimes.com. You want to read what's on the front page, and you want to bounce. It's the same way when I go to CNN or I go to Fox or I go to MSNBC. I go in, boom, I want to read the stuff, and I want to bounce out. I don't want to have to go through a process. And for those of you watching on Ustream, I've had a sore shoulder for about 3 days. I don't know what it was. I slept on it funny. But for those of you that can't see what I'm doing, I'm rotating my cuff. It hurts. And my wife worked on me last night. She did some shiatsu on me, and it's still owie. So I don't like taking Motrin or anything like that. I like to tough it out, but I may have to break down tonight and take something. It's right in the cuff, and it's like one of those muscle pinches. It sucks. It really does. Now, let's get off my aches and pains and talk about another article about net neutrality rules really are once again in the limelight, but this time in Britain. Telecommunication regulators are saying that its preliminary view is that there is currently insufficient evidence to justify regulations to prohibit certain forms of traffic management. In other words, the organization called Ofcom sees no need for open internet rules, given the agency's view that nothing has happened in the UK to merit any type of rules on enforcing some sort of net neutrality stuff. Look, I know we got a huge 13 or 14% of you from the UK listening to the show. Love to hear you guys' feedback on what they what they're reporting over there and how you feel about that. If you have comments on tonight's show, anyone can send comments to geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline, of course, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. at 619-342-7365. Those of you overseas, use plus one in front of that. All right, next article is about, Zune is in the news, of all things. And this is an article over on ArsTechnica.com. Zune has begun accepting credit cards. And this is big because, as you may remember, before you had to use Zune Marketplace to buy stuff, but now you can go straight to Zune.net and use a credit card instead of having to buy those Microsoft points before purchasing tracks. Now, as you all know, a couple of years ago, I had picked up a Zune, and my daughter uses it. And I pay $14.95, I think, or $12.95 a month for them to get unlimited. They basically can subscribe to whatever music they want. It's preloaded on the device. And I tell you, I wish Apple would do that. I really did. Because my daughter's complaining. I want a dad. I don't want an iPod. I don't want to have the Zune no more. I'm like, you got free music. Be quiet. But she's all her friends, and I'm not ready to buy her a full iPod yet. Boys and their toys and kids and their wants, right? But anyway, if you're using Zune, you can use a credit card without having to buy points. There is probably the best article tonight is been written by fastcompany.com. And oops, let me flip that back. I didn't actually load it up here for those of you watching. That was nice. Let me hit escape. Well, did I screw that up? Yep, I did. They wrote a article here that are 10 lessons from the coolest companies anywhere. Basically, they're talking about Apple and some of the things that they have done. And it's really a testament. And you have to really kind of, as much as, of course, there's huge iPhone 4 coverage today, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And I'm sure what drove this article. But you do have to think about Apple coming from the brink of bankruptcy to really having a market valuation on May 26th that was more than Microsoft. But this goes into a 10-point article about basically what Steve Jobs and the management style and how everything works over at Apple. And this is pretty insightful. This is a good read. And a matter of fact, there's a couple of things in there that I would like to implement at Raw Voice, but I don't think my guys would let me. I like the one here where there's basically a story about some guys that a company had been bought, and the team that was purchased, they were basically put in charge of coming up with the DVD burning software that is in Macs today. And they had come up with all kinds of beautiful logos and designs and, did all this stuff to make sure that they had all the charts and stuff that were, going to be part of how this interface was going to work. And during the meeting, Steve Jobs walked in and wrote on a VAT board. He just drew a square and put a little something in the middle, and it basically said burn. And he says, this is what the interface is going to look like. People are going to drag files on top of the interface. When they get done dragging the files, they're just going to select burn, and that's how the DVD burning software is going to work. And this team was completely flabbergasted that he would just basically dictate how things were going to be. There's times I would love to be able to dictate, and I got a great team at Raw Voice. I love the guys to death, and I'm not always perfect. Believe me, I am not, but I'm sure if I ran that by the by my guys, there would be it wouldn't be pretty. I would be beat up pretty hard. I just can't imagine going in and saying this is how it's going to be. But that's how things work at Apple, and this gives you some insight into really the authoritarian level of control that Steve Jobs has on the corporation and how decisions flow through him, and the buck stops there. So great read all the way through, and should be some insight for all of you. All right, let's talk just a little bit about the iPhone. I'm sure everyone's been iPhone to death today. I know that I have. I was watching what was going on this morning with the announcements of everyone picking up their phones. And I'm kind of glad I waited because Apple's acknowledging that they have an antenna issue. Apparently, if you're a lefty and you hold your phone a certain way, you're going to knock your signal down. They've embedded the antenna in the outer edge of the iPhone. So imagine, you know, looking at the iPhone and seeing the silver ring around it. And there are certain ways you, if you grab it like you normally would, it's probably okay. But if you ever palm your phone, where actually the bottom portion of the phone is kind of in your palm versus stuck out the bottom of your hand, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? And but if you squeeze it a certain way, the signal goes from four bars to none. So they have actually issued, Apple has actually issued instructions on the proper way to hold your phone. Oh, I'm thinking to myself, I am sure that hell have no furry, considering probably what went around the campus today in Cupertino, because I am sure there was some screaming going on because, you know, that's just a, you know, it's just a pure RF thing, you know, and they tried to get slick and it really has bit them in the butt. They say you can, if you buy a shell for it, you buy a little case or a little padding to go around it. Long as your bare skin doesn't touch certain parts of the outside of the case, you're going to be okay for reception. So for right now, they say the simplest solution is to buy a case and put it in there, and then your probably reception won't be affected. But not good news on the very first day of the iPhone launch. Now, FaceTime, they say, really works well. People are raving about it. Those that were able to, you know, test it on some Wi-Fi networks. Haven't heard too many tests about cross-country from one side of the coast to the other, so I'm looking forward to seeing more reports on how FaceTime works. Just wish it would work over 3G. Now, they did say that it would not work over a Google Voice. So, again, you have to be completely up on Wi-Fi to make it happen. If you picked up an iPhone 4 with a yellow tint problem, which is being reported periodically, it's part of the manufacturing process where there's a defect. They're saying if you just kind of hold off a couple of days, what's happening is the more you use your phone, seems to be curing the adhesive that's inside the phone. And apparently some folks are saying that the yellow tinting is going away. If it doesn't, get on the phone with Apple, call them, and they'll probably send you a replacement. But something got slipped. And, you know, they're probably busting these things out so fast that quality control has probably taken a hit. Same thing with this antenna issue. They should have caught that to begin with. PC World did a great write-up on basically the Android versus the iPhone 4 on multitasking and which one was best. Now, Angelo is a big Android user. He likes the multitasking features within Android, and he's been thoroughly upset with some of the stuff that happens with the iPhone because he's so used to being able to multitask when he's using the iPad or whatever he can't. But there's a pretty good write-up here, and the main issue right now with iOS 4 multitasking is that very, very few apps are multitasking capable. Some apps will just not continue to run. They will, even though they're multitasking, they suspend, and you essentially don't get updates on the screen or anything like that. And some will. So over time, they're saying some apps are going to work better than others. It is kind of curious here that, you know, this first approach to multitasking with this phone, they should have had this down. They've had plenty of time to get this figured out. But the really, in the end, they say the approach that Apple has taken has its weaknesses. And right now, the Android is still by far on top, the better multitasking phone than the iPhone iOS 4. So I guess we'll see over time as apps start to be updated on whether or not they multitask better. I don't have one. I haven't even upgraded my phone yet. So I was actually started to the other night, and it was taking forever, and I needed it, and I stopped the process. So I haven't updated my 3GS yet, so I'm just going to have to do that and play with it a little bit. But love to hear you guys' thoughts on the multitasking portion. Now, Susabel, one of our contributing, of course, one of our longtime listeners of the show and one of our contributing bloggers at geeknewscentral.com, wrote an article today that garnered some pretty good responses. And she's essentially asked, so exactly how much do app developers make on their hard work? And she quotes some studies where it's saying that the average app costs about $35,000 to develop and that the average income for a one-year period is about $682. Now, if I look at what ultimately the Geek News Central app is going to cost me to develop, I don't know what Tom's final bill is going to be, but I would bet that we would be hard-pressed to go over 10% of... I would think we'd be hard-pressed to go over $3,500 for the features that I wanted in my phone. Now, I might be wrong, and I don't want to pressure Tom at all because, you know, he's going to be sending me a bill for this. But my plan really isn't to get rich. That isn't the point on putting the app up. Now, I would love if every one of you went out and got the, if every one of you went out and bought the app, I'm probably going to put it up for 99 cents. If everyone went out and bought the app, that would make my year. It really, really would. But I'm thinking that it's more important for me to get the app out there just for the people that want to use it and consume it. Same with the Android app. We get it out there so people can use it and consume the content. It's all about you guys making it easier to consume the show. So for me, it's not about really about making money. It's more about giving you access to the content. Now, there was a lot of comments in this article that folks were saying, you know, it doesn't cost that much to develop the app. Well, I know when we developed the app for the for the Roku, folks, that those development costs were very high. That was an expensive development process, but it's paid out huge benefits. Many of you are watching the show right now on the Roku. I've seen huge numbers of people watching the video content. But if you guys want the full details on the article, make sure you go to geeknewscentral.com. Get subscribed to the blog RSS feed so that you don't miss any of the articles. The contributors over there have been great. We've been cranking out some seriously good articles. I'll cover a few of those more during the show tonight. But everyone has put together some good stuff, and we've gotten some good traffic from the content this week. And that's what it's all about. And I want to, of course, always applaud the folks that write over at GNC. And no one is, you know, everyone's getting paid to write. They don't get paid a lot, but they get paid. So I appreciate everyone's contributions. All right, the Federal Trade Commission has basically slapped Twitter on the hand. And they've gotten a warning and basically said, never do that again. Well, a couple years ago, Twitter had some challenges with people's content actually being revealed, and the FTC has gotten involved. So over on Ars Technica again, they've had a write-up on this. The company said that they cannot mislead any of us for 20 years, assuming Twitter will be around for 20 years, and they have to, you know, improve, their login process and so forth, and make sure that no one is using simple passwords like password on their accounts, and do everything they can to secure our data within their network. If you are a tester for Microsoft, you have been able to download Service Pack 1 for Windows 7 today. That's available on the street. So that's good. You know, that's available. This the build number that's available is too long for me to read here. And it was compiled actually a couple weeks ago on June 3rd. But just released here over the last day or so. And it's about 1.22 gigs down, in size. So it's going to be a pretty big update for sure. And we probably will see that sometime this fall. All right, let's talk about the big win by the folks at Viacom. I mean, the big loss by Viacom, the big win by YouTube. This, I was real happy to see this. I really, really was. And it's a summary judgment by the judge where Viacom has been blasted. Google's victory over Viacom concerning applicability of the DMCA safe harbor to YouTube is really a great victory on our part. It just goes to show that with Viacom really going after YouTube in a big way, saying they were copyright violators, the court has basically said is, hey, it's like this. Anytime someone sent a DMCA takedown notice to YouTube, YouTube complied. They never did not comply. They always complied. So because they complied, they are protected by the Safe Harbor Act. Now, Viacom basically says, and they have made this statement today, and here's what their quote is. Copyright protection is essential to the survival of creative industries. It is and should be illegal for companies to build their businesses with creative materials they have stolen from others. And you use the word they. Without this protection, investment in the development of art and entertainment would be discouraged, and many artists and producers who devote their lives to creating it would be hurt. Copyright protection is also critical to the web because consumers love professional content and because legitimate websites shouldn't have to compete with pirates. Now, here's the story. We're all passionate about content. You may have a favorite artist. You may have a favorite TV show. You may have something that, you know, there's something out there that everyone really loves. I was into the Lost series a little bit late, but got into it. I never got to the point where I would actually take a clip of Lost and put it up on YouTube. But as citizens, being fans of a show, let's be realistic and say, if I'm a fan and I'm excited about something and I want to share it with my friends and my circle and I put something up on YouTube, if I put a little clip, I say, you guys got to see this part of the show. And then maybe a little two-minute spot or something. That ties into fair use. And the companies like Viacom should wake up and say, we embrace that. We really, really do. And they should go and work with Google and say, well, yes, that is my content. Within the context of that fan, they are bringing us more viewers or more, you know, fan base based upon what they have done. I don't believe, of course, that people should be able to take full 30 minutes of a sitcom or, you know, a full 5 minutes of a music video and call that fair use. Let's be honest, that doesn't work, and even in my court. But with YouTube winning this, essentially, this billion-dollar Viacom lawsuit, for at least the time being, until Viacom appeals, is on the back burner. And what it says is that YouTube as a company is not responsible for the millions of people that upload videos to their site because there's no possible way that they can, you know, track everything. Now, they can try to use technology. They can try to use keywords. And, you know, there's stuff that they can do, and I'm sure they have done. But the safe harbor provision is just like internet service providers say that if you are an internet service provider business, say you're Time Warner or Cox, and you have a individual that is using your network for illegal purposes. Let's say he's a, let's use the lowest possible scum on earth. Let's talk about people that are looking at child porn, that type of material. The ISP in itself is not the ones that are going to be held accountable for that person's actions because of safe harbor. They're not required to go in and look and find out what people are doing with their content and invading their privacy. Law enforcement, on the other hand, is responsible for going out and getting that scumbag and arresting him and throwing him in jail and doing everything he's supposed to do. And the ISP will have to abide by the law and say, okay, if there needs to be a search warrant and acted on this individual's account and tracking and all that stuff, they have to provide that to the police. It's the same type of thing for YouTube where someone puts up some copyright material and the Viacom folks says, oh, that violates our copyright. Let's go and send a DMCA takedown notice. Google does what they're supposed to do. They take the content down. No harm, no foul. Now, if Viacom would have been smart 2 years ago when they started this malarkey, they should have went to YouTube and said, listen, every time we find a piece of our content on your website, we want you to put a 30-second ad for whatever we're promoting in front of the content. In doing so, we'll let you have fair use content of Viacom's content on our website. We'll get advertising revenue and maybe promote something else within Viacom's offering and some sort of a hyperlink off the site. Wouldn't have that made a lot more sense and put a lot more money in Viacom's pocket than going to battle with Google? They got nothing. Nothing. They're going to appeal to an appellate court. Hopefully they'll get a, you know, someone that feels a little more, you know, in their right to go after Google. But this is a good win. Will this end up in the Supreme Court? I don't know. But it is going to go to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the second court if they appeal this. I don't know how that court is made up. You know, what type of judges are on that appeal court. But we will see. We'll see what happens here. Of course, the vice president came on, said something a couple days ago about if you're taking content, you are a thief, you know, basically calling out anyone that's downloading content and just, you know, outright calling them a thief, which was, I thought, kind of interesting. But where that originated, I don't know. But for a company the size of YouTube, this is a big, big, big win. And we'll see what happens here. And, of course, Google wins as well at the same time. Hopefully Viacom wakes up. Now, something on a little lighter note. I just got to put this up for those of you on Ustream. You probably can't see this. I don't know if I can zoom in or not. And this happened, I believe, in the UK. BBC's reporting on this. That a Google Street View car caught the image of what they're calling Horse Boy. It actually happened in Aberdeen, Scotland, in the UK. And it's just, you know, some guy standing in the street wearing a horse mask. But it's just so weird. I mean, it is, you know, it's a purple shirt. Guy's wearing purple shirt, black pants, and he has a pretty interesting horse mask on. And I have to laugh here because this phenomenon is spreading. Horse Boy, it seems, moves very quickly all around the European continent. Perhaps behind his purple shirt, he has wings. Those who will purportedly complain that you can find more footage on Google Street View that shows him to be a real human being putting on a cheap horse mask. Some say that Horse Boy may end up on Oprah or some show like that. But anyway, kind of funny stuff. But, you know, you just think about it. You see the Google Street View car driving down maybe one of your side streets, and you think, what can I do? You run to the closet, and you find your last Halloween mask. You grab it, you haul butt down on the street, and you get positioned, and as the Street View car's driving by, you look at it with your horse mask. So if you're in Aberdeen, Scotland, and you see Horse Boy, make sure you snap a picture for me, all right? All right, Thunderbird 3.1 is going to introduce better search and some better migration tools. So I guess this is coming shortly. And so we'll see what happens there. And they say it's going to be a performance increase as well. And, you know, my initial reaction to Thunderbird 3.0 wasn't necessarily as positive as others. But they've improved search and some other stuff. So that's good. So we'll see what happens when that's on the stream. I'm assuming it's not out yet because I haven't been updated to update or been told to update. Hey, a Senate committee approved the controversial cybersecurity bill. This is, you know, I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this here, but the Senate committee has approved a wide-ranging cybersecurity bill that some critics have suggested is going to give the United States president the authority to shut down parts of the internet during a cyber attack. Senator Joe Lieberman and other bill sponsors have refuted the charges that the Protecting Cyber States as a National Asset Act gives the president an internet kill switch. He says Instead, the bill puts limits on the powers the president already has to cause the, quote unquote, the closing of any facility or station for wire communication in a time of war, as described in the Communication Act of 1934. They said in a breakdown of the bill published on the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee website. Basically, what they said here is the president would need congressional approval to extend a national cyber emergency beyond 120 days under an amendment to the legislation approved by the committee. It does say that the legislation would give the U.S. Department of Homeland Security authority that it does not have now to respond to cyber attacks. And so what does that mean? They have fight fire with hackers or what? Sponsors of the bill include Senator Susan Collins, a Maine Republican, and Tom Carper, a Delaware Democrat. If they're in your districts, feel free to write them a note or call them and email them and let them know what you think about this bill. We'll see where this goes. Haven't just got enough read-in on this yet, but I understand the want and desire to have some sort of ability to shut the internet down, but can you imagine the absolute havoc? People would go out of their minds. It's become such an integral part of our lives to think that they would shut it down or limit access to stuff is scary. And it better be a serious dealio to do that. I'm going to tell you, because people are forgiving, but I don't know if they'd be so forgiving if their internet went away. You know, I wonder what the outcry would be as compared to the oil spill. Imagine shutting down the internet for the entire time that the oil spill has been going on. Who would scream louder? Would it be about the internet or would it be about the oil spill? I can absolutely just about guarantee that people would be screaming louder about the internet. That's for sure. All right, here's something that really blew me away. And it made me, weren't we supposed to be having this transparent administration where they were supposed to be showing us everything? Well, they weren't supposed to be hiding anything. They're supposed to be putting bills up on the internet before they were being, up for committee. And all this transparency crap that they promised us. The FCC has met with ISPs to discuss net neutrality behind closed doors. The Federal Communications Commission is holding closed-door meetings with phone and cable companies in the hopes to coming to some sort of arrangement on how the agency regulates broadband internet service. Huh? Closed meetings with cable companies and phone companies with no representation from any other organization or group or public or whatever. Broadband providers were excluded as well. What do you guys think about that? Consumer group Free Press was not pleased. This is over on extremetech.com. It's stunning that the FCC would convene meetings between industry giants to allow them to determine how the agency should best protect the public interest. Free Press President and CEO Josh Silver said in a statement, the Obama administration promised a new era of transparency and to take a backseat to no one on net neutrality, but these meetings seem to indicate the FCC has no problem brokering backroom deals without any input or scrutiny. I'm flabbergasted that they would do this. Are you? Come on. Now, I don't want to get political here. I really, really don't, because it's bad for the show. And I don't care what side of this you're on. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. But here's the thing. Isn't it stunning that they are doing closed-door meetings? Just let's take the politics out of it. And not even think about politics, just the fact that they're doing closed-door meetings over net neutrality. Wow. That's all I can say. It is business as usual in the nation's capital. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Say what you want to say. Nothing has changed. All right. Let me see if I can share something of a more lighter, fun note with you today. And let me go back to the Geek News Central website, and we'll see if this is still on. YouTube did something pretty cool today. It was fun. If you guys were over at the website, you guys would have seen this. Let's see if I can find the article, if I can bring it up. You know, YouTube honored Geek News Central today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring this up here. Yeah, it's still there.
And GNC it, okay, this 586.
Is, all right.
It's Tuesday.
Okay, that was the show 586 starting on YouTube. Okay, so let me turn this over. I'm gonna play the beginning of the show, and then I'm gonna push the little soccer button that's now on the YouTube website. So let me start this. So this will be the beginning of the other show, so you guys can listen to that. And at the same time, I'm gonna push the soccer button.
Hey, June 22nd. And you're listening to the Central Podcast, sponsored by. Go.
YouTube has got a great sense of humor. They give it, you know, if you guys really want to listen to the show and really get annoyed, go watch my show number 586 on YouTube, start the video, and then press the soccer button and listen to those horns for a whole hour. Oh, let's see if I can get that again. Here we go. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. Oh, man, too much fun here. Okay, Twitter and Facebook having a little bit of an issue. A cold war is a little breaking out. Twitter and Facebook need to make friends because Twitter had an update that was to their Facebook application that would allow us to basically see our Facebook friends at their actual Twitter accounts and actually follow them if we're not already following them on Facebook. But the update was blocked. Something to do with interoperability and scaling, and Facebook said it's working with Twitter to resolve the issue. But if you're using the Facebook application on, if you're using the Twitter application on Facebook, you can't use the new features yet. All right, a little more technical article. Hey, this is over at computerworld.com. SanDisk SD card can store data for 100 years. SanDisk on Wednesday announced a secure digital card that can store data for 100 years but can be written on only once. It's called the Worm. Write once, read many card. It's tamper-proof, and data cannot be altered or deleted. That this is what SanDisk is saying in a statement. The card is designed for long-term preservation of crucial data like legal documents, medical files, pictures, movies, and forensic evidence, SanDisk said. They only come in the size of 1 gig. And how much are these babies going to cost? I bet you these are going to be really, really expensive. No pricing yet, but they say they're being used by police departments and agencies to store data. So we'll see what happens. 1 gig. How many of those will I need? I'll need about 1,000 of them. All right. ICANN has finally decided to approve the XXX domain. And they finally decided to go ahead and bow to pressure and assign that. You know, whoever is assigned the authority to manage the XXX domain name, they better have infrastructure in place like it's nobody's business, because they're going to get crushed when they open that up for registration. It's going to be a land rush like you have absolutely never seen before. There's going to be lawsuits for years for people infringing on what they have in .com that they want on XXX. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. All right, over on eetimes.com, you guys heard about the Ice Cube Telescope? This is amazing. I didn't even know about this. It's a telescope that is being constructed in Antarctica, and detectors are being lowered as much as a mile into the ice. They're drilling holes, lowering the probes in, and what's actually happening here is the probes are not looking spaceward, they're looking inward. And what they're actually doing here is they're setting up an array of detectors that is going to be designed to detect neutrinos. Now, neutrinos are like these, they're very elusive. Science want to be able to capture, you know, find out what's going on with neutrinos. And this is extreme science, really teamed with extreme technology. And they're saying that 95% of the sensors used in the Ice Cube telescope, this is really the truth, it's not April Fool's, are expected to last about 15 years. And the reason they had to use it in the South Pole is because of the absolute clarity of the ice. And it's very important detecting these blue rays. It's basically what happens when the neutrino comes into the ice pack and hits some other particles, they will put off a blue hue, and that's what they're going to be looking for. But the detectors are being buried between 1,450 and 2,450 meters. So once they put them in, there's no way to ever get them out. So this is a one-way trip for all these sensors. And I don't know how much money they're spending here, but this is pretty cool. Now, imagine, matter of fact, any of you guys live in Brooklyn? Hey, Jeff, I know you're listening in Brooklyn. I hope you're not living next to this guy, because this guy is building a nuclear reactor. Yes, you heard me correctly. He's building a nuclear reactor in his house. He's actually built one, and he's been given an award, and he hopes to be creating fusion. So, but I would be kind of alarmed if someone was had a homemade nuclear reactor next door. And some of his neighbors have made some comments here. a homemade nuclear fusion reactor being built in Brooklyn. I would have thought there would be some sort of rules and laws about messing around with nuclear fusion in your apartment, said Brooklyn resident. I'm not sure I'd like to be living right next door to him. Next person. The fact that he's trying to form a new kind of energy is all well and good, but without the proper scientific work behind it, I don't know if it's such a good idea. If there's a flash in Brooklyn, look where this guy lives, okay? Jeez. Oh, man. I would not want to live next to that guy. I hope he has. I'd have to have me one of those, you know, one of those meters. Oh, boy. Now, folks in New Zealand, you know, your guys' music and movie industry is just as messed up as it is here in the United States. Apparently, a movie that was been called Boy has been a huge success down there. I haven't heard about this, but it's been out of the box office for months, and this thing was leaked recently to the internet. And remember, it was already been in movie theaters, and it's did its run, and it's already out of movie theaters. They're saying, though, because it's been released on the internet, it's going to cost them millions of dollars, even though the movie's only been downloaded 200 times. Oh, boy. Exaggeration's going around everywhere. Hey, let's talk just a little bit about Rolling Stone. Now, if you've been living in a commune or something like that, you would have heard about the firing of a general that happened a couple days ago. And you heard that Rolling Stone did the article. But did you know that the Rolling Stone did not put this up on their website until several days after the story broke? They went with a print first mindset, and everywhere else, all the other news sites was where everyone was going for information on this article versus going to the Rolling Stone website. The Rolling Stone website only had 16 comments after they actually released the story on their website. So in an attempt to push people to the paper edition, it looks like Rolling Stone missed out on a huge internet opportunity. That had been a multiple millions and millions of hits. If they released it there, they'd have got the traffic. But no, they divvied it out to other news organizations and whoever's doing their digital footprint over there should be fired. You know, the general should be fired, and whoever is in charge of Rolling Stone's distribution strategy should be fired too. Just don't get it in this day and age. Of course, the ACLU is jumping into a case where North Carolina wants to detail on your Amazon purchase. So we've talked about this in the past. You know, back in March, we've talked about the details of the North Carolina state government forcing Amazon over a very detailed list of purchases made by anyone in the state. You know that Amazon has refused, but still the North Carolina government continues to ask for what did John Doe buy at Amazon. And they want item by item price by price list. Can you imagine the state getting a hold of everything you bought at Amazon? What it is they want to tax you. They want to come back and collect sales tax. So, you know, Amazon already releases a lot of information to the states, but North Carolina still wants a lot more. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. Get on the phone there, North Carolina state residents. You need to. Love to hear you guys' feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, did you guys hear that you could be accessible? It could be if you're accessing your own data on Facebook via a third-party website, you could be criminally liable for accessing that content. According to Facebook rules, that's the case. So don't go to a third-party site and try to pull your data off Facebook because they can come after you. Wow. This is in relation to a company called Power.com. It's an online service that lets users aggregate various social networking activity into a single service. Power.com lets a willing user to use their tools to log into Facebook and reuse and reformat the data. And Facebook is not happy in going after Power.com. Let's talk a little bit about space news. A superstorm was found on an exoplanet. Astronomers announced this week evidence of a power superstorm in the atmosphere of an extrasolar planet. In a published paper of the current Institute of Journal Nature, scientists said they found signs of powerful winds in the atmosphere of HD 209-458b, a hot Jupiter exoplanet orbiting just 5.05 AU from a parent star. They're talking about some massive winds on this thing. Another article on space side, NASA may delay the final shuttle missions. They may push the September launch to October and then push the final mission into February. And, of course, there continues to be big debate on whether or not the shuttle should continue to fly after its last two missions. If you've got a PlayStation, Bloomberg is reporting that Hulu is going to be coming to a PlayStation, so that may be coming. That's just a rumor. Of course, Reuters spread a rumor last week that Hulu was coming to the Xbox 360 and the iPad. That hasn't happened yet, but we will see if that actually does happen. If you're a Windows 7 fan, the Windows Phone 7 is planned for an October release. This was casually dropped in a Microsoft ad presentation. So look for Windows Phone 7 in October. Here's a funny one from NVIDIA, and I got to wrap up here with the regular content in just a second. But NVIDIA wants to thank Intel for saying that GPUs are only 14 times faster than a CPU. I think those of you that have been watching the GPU space and what NVIDIA has been doing there, which is very legitimate, where they are creating some massive horsepower on basically video processing cards. Intel had they were pretty dumb in actually having this in a slide where they said that these GPUs are only four times faster than CPUs. NVIDIA's had some fun with that here. Hey, GarageBand.com is shutting down. I don't know if you've been over there before or not. Mike reported this on Geek News Central. Thanks, Mike, for that. I haven't used that site in years, but GarageBand.com is on its way out. And I had one last article, but have you guys heard about the privacy policy now with the new iPhone 4 operating system where Google is allowed to track you? Yes, you heard me correctly. Very hard to opt out. We'll talk about that more on a later show, but I just kind of curious here at the very end, how many of you heard about this new provision? This was a story broke by the LA Times. Actually, this has been going on for a couple of years, but they kind of clarified it in their user agreement where Apple can track you using the location-based services without you really knowing it. If you have that enabled on your phone, they can track and store data. How do you feel about that? Should make all of us a little bit nervous. All right, let me go ahead. I got a voicemail here. We'll play that, and then we'll get into the email comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Here comes the voicemail.
Todd, this is Bruce Barr, otherwise known as Mr. Kent. It's in Kansas City. Just thought I would call in and make a comment on kind of your road warrior status of, what did you say? You had something like, you know, how many nights this year in various hotels. Hopefully,
60.
You're gaining something out of that and the mileage there. Of
course, oh, absolutely.
It's kind of like the old days of the road warriors. The last thing you want to do is go on another trip on vacation, right?
That's right.
Plus, if you live in Hawaii, where else are you going to go on vacation? I was wondering, what's the situation with most of the hotels that you're staying in? Something that I've been waiting for in terms of my traveling is more free Wi-Fi at hotels that are a bit higher status than... It seems like the free Wi-Fi is in the hotels that cost you less, but are not the highest rated hotels within a given hotel chain. And I do have some status with one hotel chain, and they have finally deigned to not only give me a free breakfast in the concierge lounge, but also to allow... Oh, my goodness, that person just ran a red light. All three of them did. They're all crazy. Anyway, that might happen all the time in Hawaii, but doesn't happen that often here, at least in my little suburb. Sorry about that. They have deigned to allow me to have free Wi-Fi instead of charging me the $10 a night or something like that that they wanted for the Wi-Fi service if I was staying in the full line hotel. And I think probably with the limits that people have on, you know, their 3G coverage in terms of how much that they can do. If you're traveling a lot, you don't want to be dependent totally on something that's going to be capped and cost you a lot of money. So hitting that Wi-Fi whenever it is you can with the devices is always a good thing. So I was wondering about that. And the other comment that I had was on the big iPhone iOS upgrade here. And I wanted to say that I have a second-generation iPod Touch. And when I tried to upgrade that, it actually took a long time to run, which a lot of people, I think, are reporting. And once it was running or did boot up, it was basically not a brick, but it was completely unfunctional. Like, for instance, when you tried to play something and use it as an iPod to play a podcast, it would instantly die and come back to the home screen again. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I should have done this. I did it too soon. But I did find a site out there, and it said to do the recover from the backup, so to actually reset the factory defaults and then sync everything up, and that seemed to fix my problem. Although I have had a problem with foldering where I built up some folders and then all of a sudden there seemed to be a refresh that happened and the home screen looks slightly different. And all of my foldering was gone. So that's going to be irksome if that keeps on happening. Anyway, keep up the great work. We'll be listening out here, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. Definitely appreciate it. So far as, you know, the hotel goes, yeah, I collect every status I can get because it pays off, and sometimes I can pay for all the hotel stays when we do a family vacation. Actually, when we went out to California last year, I used every point that I had to do that. But Wi-Fi in the hotels, yeah, when I'm staying at like Hampton Inns, usually the Wi-Fi is free. When I stayed last week at, where did I stay? I can't even think. They wanted $14.95 a night. The bandwidth was horrible even when I was paying for it. Irregardless, what I have found across the board, no matter what hotel I'm staying in, the bandwidth is horrible. They're usually limiting you to maybe 250K up, maybe 500 down. They've gotten smart and they're locking it. So now I travel with an eVideo card from Sprint and Verizon. And I also, when I know I'm going to a location in Texas or California or places like Vegas that has Clear, then I carry my Clear modem as well. So really, I bring my own bandwidth. That's really the only way that I've been really been able to do the show live. I've been streaming. Really, Verizon has been pretty reliable and actually streaming the show when I'm on the road. But Really, that's what I resort to. If they charge for the internet service, I don't pay for it. I just break out the EVDO card and go from there. But thanks for the call. Call back again. Definitely appreciate it. Let's go ahead and get into the email real quick here so we can get the show wrapped up and not go too long tonight. Let's see here. First email is from Bruce. Hey, Todd. Data roaming abroad. In regards to 586, when you discussed what you did with 3G roaming, I try and buy pay-as-you-go SIM cards, mainly to cover data usage. I bought a one-month voice/data SIM in Australia with a one gig of data for $20 Australian. There are deals if you have the time to shop around. Yes, that's correct when you just do it online. He says, UK landline phone contracts. You're also to discuss UK phone contracts for landlines. Not as bad as it seems, as they may bundle with TV and data services. So they try and tie you to them for 12 months or so. It can work in your favor, as when you call them to switch, you generally get something of added value, such as higher broadband speeds. Most UK LAN providers sign you up for 12 months and with then roll ongoing thereafter. Regards, Bruce in the UK. So, hey, he sent that from the iPhone. That was great, Bruce. Thanks so much. Absolutely. Got an email here on FTC News. Well, basically, this is from one of our listeners. I want to thank Gail. Sent this over talking about Twitter selling charges on the FTC bit. We already talked about that earlier in the show. Got Paul. I got your information. Say, hey, Todd. He said, I'd be interested in beta testing Geek News Central iPhone app. He said, I've worked as an IT professional for the last 14 years. In the past couple of months, I've been working on iPhone apps. Listen to your podcast for an hour. Saves me hours of web browsing to keep up to date with things. Thanks for sending me over your UID. You'll be on my list, Paul. Daniel sent me a link. He said, hey, Todd, found some cool stuff on your TradePub website. Some cool books, some new ebooks. Check these out. So he found something I wasn't even aware of. So I have these linked up there. Daniel, thanks for that. You guys check this link out because there's some really cool ebooks there. Trucker Tom sent me an email talking about an article from Reuters talking about scientists can read your mind better than you can with the scan predicted 70% of behavior. And this thing is amazing. Brain scans. This is how they're going to do lie detector tests soon, folks. They're just going to point something at your head and ask you a question. They're going to tell right away whether you're lying or not. I got an email from Jeff. He said, seems like Microsoft is doing a bit more TV advertising these days. I just happened to see a commercial for IE8 on Fox News Channel 8 last week. Commercials for Bing are also starting to pop up quite a bit. If this is yet another way of fighting If this is fighting the juggernaut that is Google, I'm all for it, Jeff in Louisville. Yeah, that was it. I got Robert. I got your UUID. And he says, hey, for show 600, one thing I'd like to see change about GNC is based on your comment about the relative size of your audio audience versus video. And that is to promote the video content on both GNC and other podcasts. For one show, maybe even show 600, you could demo how YouTube can be used for easily creating a podcast using your GNC channel as a good example. Then on an ongoing basis for future shows, you might have a segment where you mention one of the video podcasts of your choice or maybe a listener's choice. I still think we ought to partner with Raw Voice. I'll be quiet about that part. Anyway, Robert, let's talk. I couldn't read number 2 and 3. There's some proprietary information in there. So thanks for that, Robert. Of course, Sam, I got your entry for being an iPhone app reviewer. Here's one from Jeff. Let me look at it. Did I read this one already? I think I did. If I didn't, Jeff, blast me, okay? I think that's it. That's it, folks. If I missed somebody here on email, I apologize. Had my place marker, thought I got everyone covered. But 622, I don't think I read that one. Let me look at this. I definitely didn't get this one. Let me get in this real quick here. Let me see if I can read this. He said, Todd, you asked for some thoughts on net neutrality. Definition, net neutrality is a principle that advocates no restriction by internet service providers and governments on content, sites, platforms, on kinds of equipment that may be attached, and no restrictions on modes of communications allowed. Sounds great, but do our politicians really want net neutrality? Do they want a fair exchange of ideas, or do they want control? Do they want an open forum where they or their policies can be criticized? Do they really want an informed public? On your podcast, you mentioned net neutrality a lot, and I think the hope is that net neutrality result in putting the telecom providers in their place. I agree. There is no doubt that the telecom industry needs controls, but I think Congress will only make matters worse. Today's net neutrality will be tomorrow's higher taxes, surcharges, and more control by government over the internet. Like you say, we can only keep an eye on what's happening and hope for the best. There is little we can do to prevent the government from taking over the internet. If the name of net neutrality, the internet will become an overtaxed and overregulated tool of the government policies. Look at what they've done to healthcare. I am not directing these comments to any political party, but I hope I am wrong and overreacting. Todd, keep up the good work. I love your podcast and never miss a show. Your podcast is the standard by which others are compared. All the best to you, your family, and the Ohana. Jeff from Florida. Jeff, those are fantastic. First of all, thank you. At the end of the show, that's a very warm endorsement. I appreciate that very much from the bottom of my heart. And thanks for being part of the Ohana. So far as the net neutrality stuff, you know, who knows? You know, look what they're trying to do with the kill switch, and you know, it's government wants too much control. I agree, and I don't know. We just have to really be vocal. If this audience, if everyone in this audience, we got 150,000 people plus that listen to this show, if you guys all started screaming at your local representatives on policies like this, we would be a big force, just this show alone. And in speaking the way you want to speak on how you've formed your opinion on these practices, but all we can do is keep an eye, and I'll keep you guys informed. Don't worry, I'll let you know what the government's doing. And we'll keep an eye on them. Keep them in check, we hope. If not, we'll vote them all out, right? Just kidding. All right, everyone. Take care. Have a great week and a weekend. And we'll see you back here if you're watching live Monday night. And if you're listening to the show, of course, you can pick the show up Tuesday or Friday morning. Everyone, take care. We'll see you until next time. Aloha.